We're going to combine a couple of my favorite topics next here on the Ideas Network: eating, food, and gardening. What could be better than that? Larry Mueller here, my guest, Barbara Damrosch, who is a horticulture industry veteran, been a guest on this program in the past. She's the author of the classic, The Garden Primer. She and her husband, Elliot Coleman, are the owners of Four Season Farm. It's an experimental market garden in Harborside, Maine. And they co-wrote this brand new book, Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook. And we're going to talk about it. We'll talk about gardening, talk about food and preparing what you raise in the garden, because that's what they do in that book, in their book. And hoping that you will join in with your questions and comments. How many seasons is your garden active? What would you like to make it a four-season garden if you could? What are some of the favorite ways to prepare the bounty of each season? Those are some of the things we can talk about at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Barbara Damrosch, our guest, with us by phone. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well today. You put me in a good mood when I had a chance to look through your book.
Oh, that's nice.
Lots of great advice. Lots of wonderful photography.
Well, thank you.
And illustrations. So I'm telling you, I enjoyed it. And you may be asked this question once in a while, but why, I've heard this, why should we bother to grow our own food?
Oh, well, there's so many reasons. If I had to rank all the reasons, I think the first one for me would be the way it tastes. I mean, a lot of people would start with, there's something so disastrously wrong with our nation's food supply that you really have to grow your own or at least shop at a local farmer's market, et cetera. And all of that is probably true. But personally, I have gotten so addicted to the fresh taste of food right out of the garden that there's sort of no turning back for me. And I can grow the varieties that I think taste best. I can eat them in the season where they're perfect. I can, make sure they're grown well. When I'm eating a strawberry or a radish, I know exactly what went into that strawberry or radish. There's no lurking doubt. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
Plus the fact that I really love the activity of gardening. I like being outdoors, doing something that isn't jogging.
Yep.
It's so much more interesting than jogging.
And yeah,
you get great exercise, and it's not as punishing to the body. You can vary the tasks. You can do something kneeling. You can do something standing, and then you can do something in between. I even like to weed. It's sort of a relaxing activity where you get to think about things and, it's quiet.
We get out there with our 9-year-old and get out on our hands and knees to do some weeding, and it's fun.
Oh, gardening with kids is the best. Sometimes they lose interest. Some are going to love it. Some are going to love it later. Like my son, who didn't like gardening at all the few times I tried to get him to do it. He didn't even eat vegetables. I mean, you'd say, Chris, you don't eat any vegetables. And he'd say, I do too. I eat chives. And that was it. But now he has a new house. He's dying to have a garden. He eats everything, including chives.
Well, here you and Elliot are with you have a four-season garden. Your book is titled The Four-Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook.
Right.
And you have a four-season garden, and you live in Maine.
Yep.
And, people are going to say, how do you do that? And can we accomplish that in Wisconsin?
Well, the answer is, yeah, if we can do it, anyone can do it. Because, I suppose there's places that get even colder in the winter than Maine does. But I think our winter lasts longer than anybody else's because we're near the coast, and that cold water keeps spring from happening. I just heard your weather report while I was waiting for your show. Spring is way ahead where you are.
Well, it's been cold. I have to say that. It's just been the last couple of days, Barbara. So
okay. But still, it said 70s, we're going to we'll be lucky to hit 58 today.
Okay.
But we consider that great.
Well, this is what you talk about in your book, how to do this for sleep.
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of little tricks. You know, most people have heard about cold frames. That's very simple. But we also teach you how to build a little greenhouse that two of you can literally pick up and move and put over something when it needs protecting and still be able to walk in and stand up and, you know, you and the crops are out of the wind and the cold. And it costs just, you know, a few hundred dollars to build. It's wonderful. Things like that.
And it's not going to be gone away in 1 year. You can spend a couple hundred bucks and you can
keep reusing it. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we definitely need to have you come back on a Friday Garden Talk show sometime. But today, I'm going to concentrate on how to use all those great veggies that we're going to grow. You say that a gardener cook approaches meal planning in the opposite way that a shopper cook does.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a shopper goes into the store with a recipe and a list of ingredients. And, you know, in an American supermarket, you can be guaranteed to find pretty much anything you want in any given day of the year. We take it for granted that that's an entitlement. But I don't consider it that way. I think the great entitlement, the great luxury, is to be able to enjoy each of those things at its peak of perfection. And for us, that doesn't mean deprivation, because even in the most difficult gardening months, like January and February, there's dozens of things we can have growing, or in our cellar, or, you know, various ways of keeping them lively. So what you do then is let the garden be your shopping list. You say, okay, the asparagus is up. What can I have with that? Oh, the tarragon is up. And, some scallions are up too. And before you know it, you've got a wonderful omelet or a stir fry or a custard or something like that. And I really think that a garden will teach you how to be a better cook, because what I have ended up doing is coming up with a series of simple recipes that I can use regardless of what those ingredients are. So I have a quiche that uses buckwheat as a crust instead of pastry, which
yeah,
is
time like
consuming to make. All of these are quickies, by the way. I mean, there's a few things like stocks and long simmering soups in the book, where you can really leave them there to do their thing while you go off and do something else. But a lot of these are just quick little things you throw together according to what's in season. Is it winter vegetables? Well, you use winter vegetables. If it's summer, you use summer vegetables.
And you have these wonderful photographs of the food. Oh, my goodness. here it is. It's almost noon here in Wisconsin, and I'm getting very hungry looking at this book. I'll tell you that sure.
Elliot got hungry many times waiting for me to finish taking the photograph. And hurry up, Barbara. I didn't do all the food photography in the book. A guy named Matt Benson did the really styled, perfect ones, but I had my camera in the kitchen a lot, too.
Barbara Damrosch, our guest today, she, along with her husband, Elliot Coleman, are the authors of the Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook, and I am having great fun talking with her. You can join in too. How many seasons is your garden active? Would you like to make it a four-season garden if you could? Well, what about preparing? What are some of your favorite ways to prepare the bounty of each season? Join us at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. If you got a great garden photo, or even a food photo from the garden, love to see that as well. So is that kind of your feast philosophy that you were talking about?
Yes. Yes. Every day is a feast. Every day, there's 365 little food festivals in our house, okay? Because we're celebrating whatever is perfect at that moment.
Ah, I love it. Well, let's start. You know, here we are. Spring is here.
Yes.
Barely in some part. I can tell you that in northern Wisconsin, on a lake near a cabin that we have, there's still 22 inches of ice on the lake.
22 inches of ice.
Yes.
Wow. Our ice on our pond went out about 2 weeks ago, if that.
Yeah, so it's
amazing.
Not... Yeah, it's not all spring quite yet, but... but at least by the calendar, it's spring. What are some great early spring recipes?
Oh, let's see. I have a recipe in the book called Asparagus Goldenrod. And the wonderful thing about asparagus is you get to harvest it for 6 weeks, and then you want to let it sort of rebuild itself and put, you know, energy into the foliage. But during those 6 weeks, you want to make the most of it. So you're eating it every day, and you decide to maybe vary it. Nothing wrong with steamed buttered asparagus, but, you know, what else can I do with the asparagus?
Yeah.
So my mother used to make a dish called Eggs Goldenrod, where you made you put some toast, and you made a hard-boiled eggs, cut up the egg white, put it into a cream sauce, pour that over the toast, and then you take the yolks, the hard yolks, and put them through a grater. These days, I'd probably use a microplane. We didn't have those back then. And it makes this pollen all over the white eggy thing. And, you know, so it looks like goldenrod pollen.
Oh.
Oh, so you're getting hungry. Oh,
oh
yes.
My goodness, that sounds good.
Yeah. And I like that one.
And you, of course... experimented with every one of the recipes in your...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did, wrote them all, often testing them over and over and over until I would get them right.
So,
and Elliot had to eat them. He didn't complain.
You know, I... And you know, he looks pretty thin yet.
Oh, we're both scrawny.
And you are too thin.
Yeah. We're active, I guess.
So it's the gardening and well, and of course the food you're eating. I mean, listen to that recipe. I mean, that's got to be as healthful.
Yeah, we have we're not all that trendy in some ways about the way we eat. We're not really down on fat. We're down on the bad fats, the industrial fats. In fact, the one thing we're really down on is food we don't consider real food. So we don't have a lot of prepared foods. I mean, yes, ketchup, yes, mustard, Worcestershire sauce, whatever. But we don't open a lot of cans.
Cans or that sort of thing. And we can take a quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Gardening is a great pleasure, and using the produce that we grow in delicious and healthful recipes, even better. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along on the Ideas Network. Barbara Damrosch, our guest today, horticulture industry veteran and author of the classic The Garden Primer. She and her husband, Elliot Coleman, are the owners of Four Season Farm. It's an experimental market garden in Harborside, Maine. They co-wrote this brand new book. It's called Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook. And Barbara, thanks again for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Larry. Great to be here.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You may have some favorite ways to use the bounty of each season. I hope you'll join. Maybe you have some delicious desserts that are involved with the garden. I know that there are some of those in the Gardener's Cookbook that Barbara's put together. So I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Janice in Cotton, Minnesota has been waiting a while. I want to get to her. Janice, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I would just like to comment on Barbara's comment about that her first choice of what she likes best about home gardening would be the taste. And I guess my first choice would be the non-GMO products and seeds that are out there without being modified so that it kills the weeds, but it also kills the nutrition in the plants they do produce. So that would be my first choice I wanted to comment on.
All right. Thanks for calling. Comment from you, Barbara.
Well, I don't think we need GMOs at all. I think traditional gardening methods can feed the world. That's what I believe.
All right. Thank you for calling, Janice. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. talking with Barbara a little about the gardening side of it, but the book is about half about gardening and four-season gardening, and then the other half, a series of wonderful recipes that take us through the year, and really great to have her along to talk about those. And you may have some recipes of your own, and ways that you prepare food straight from your garden or from the farmer's market. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or post again on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, or email us at talk@wpr.org. You mentioned the asparagus goldenrod, which really sounds wonderful. I'm looking at these stuffed squash blossom fritters.
Oh, those are also among my favorite things. I just love, you know, that's very easy to make.
Oh, man. Simple, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gather them in the morning when they're wide open, and because that's when they're open for the bees to pollinate them. And you pick them and bring them in, and you can keep them fresh in the refrigerator. And then you poke a little bit of cheese and an anchovy, too, if you're an anchovy person. And then you swirl them in a thin, like, flour and water batter. I use a whole wheat flour, mm-hmm. which works very well. And then I just fry them in olive oil, flip them over, flat fry the other side, and then you want to, as soon as they're cool enough to get your fingers on them, you pop them in your mouth. You don't want to let them sit. They'll get soggy. So when I make them, when there's people over, people are just standing there around this kitchen table, you know, waiting for them to come out of the pan. And that's the way you should eat them.
Oh, I love that idea. And you've got, can we get your roasting tomatoes?
Oh, that's another great one. Yeah. The plum-shaped tomatoes, the paste tomatoes, you cut them in half, and you put them cut side up on a cookie sheet smeared with olive oil, and you throw some herbs over them. And then you just roast them in the oven for about, maybe 45 minutes, maybe longer. It depends. You want them to be still sort of pillowy. You're not after that sun-dried tomato kind of experience, which is almost like gummy bears.
Yeah.
They're very chewy. This is sort of halfway between, fresh tomato size and much reduced dried size. So it's they lose a lot of their moisture, which simply concentrates all the sugars and the flavor in there.
Yeah, and I could see, I understand doing it in the oven, but I could see doing it on my grill. Have you done it on the grill?
Yeah, you can do it on the grill. I guess you'd have to have a little finesse. If you grill it too fast, they'll burst, and they'll just be tomato juice in your coals, you know, that kind of thing.
No, we don't want that.
But, yeah, I'm sure there's a way to do it. There's a way to do anything. That's the great thing about playing with food.
Well, talk about how you've got that part of your book organized, because you've got, you open with a nice little piece, but then you've got, start with appetizers and sandwiches, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And a lot of seasonal cookbooks sort of go by season. But if I'm cooking in spring, I don't look up the word spring. I look up the word chicken or the the word lettuce, you know, or something like that. So I wanted to show that no matter what course it is, what kind of, you know, category it's in, you can always put vegetables in it. So there's lots of fish recipes, and those have vegetables in them. There's meat recipes, and they have vegetables in them. There's all the desserts have fruit in them. So it's that kind of cookbook. It just shows how vegetables can be even more a part of your life.
I like the way that you have those non-garden ingredients. They are sort of the foundation.
Yeah,
often.
And for us, it's part of the whole program, because more and more we're growing our own meat as well. And I know that everybody's not going to go out and do that, although there's been a huge uptick in chicken raising, backyard chickens.
Oh, yeah.
But we have chickens and we have pigs, and we're hoping to get some of our own beef this year. So we'd like to, you know, raise more and more of our own of that, too.
So Four Season Farm, your farm, you always call it an experimental market garden.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a market garden is just, you know, a small farm that sells a lot of vegetables, both, in our case, both wholesale and retail. And the reason I call it experimental is that we're always trying new things, and that's why we keep coming out with these books, because we always learn new, better ways to do something. And so basically, we put pretty much the profits from the farm back into trying something different, because you take a risk when you're trying something different. And so that's kind of the economics of our farm, and also the spirit of the farm, because really, if we just decided that if we just sold tomatoes and spinach and carrots, we could probably make just as much money, maybe more, than the like 30 or 40 things we do grow from yeah. time to time. But it wouldn't be as much fun. It wouldn't be as interesting. So, you know, we do like to push the envelope, lots of different envelopes all the time, see if we can grow something that we don't think is going to be hardy, but it turns out to be, you know, that kind of thing.
And do people just come and buy from you at the...
Yeah, we have a farm stand on the property, and we have a mobile farm stand we call the Veggie Wagon, which is pulled on a trailer by our delivery van, and it has a, you know, it's like a little house that opens up on all sides with awnings, and so we can take it anywhere and sort of have an instant market. But usually we go to markets where there's other farmers as well, and then we sell wholesale year-round to restaurants and stores.
So you're selling year-round.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. In fact, we even had a winter market that went all winter this year because this wonderful nursery in Blue Hill, which is a nearby town, had a great big glass house that they didn't really use that much during the wintertime. And so they rented it to one of our farmers markets. And so everybody came, and it was such a scene because it wasn't just the farmers, the people who ground coffee, the bakers.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Just
oh boy.
People who make teas. So people would come and have lunch and hang out, and it was the place to be on Saturdays in Blue Hill, Maine.
Oh, that sounds so. It was a kind of a house of mostly glass then, or
oh yeah, it's a glass. A glass house means a greenhouse that's made of glass, and this was enormous.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the best, somebody emailed in, what are some of the best uses for root vegetables, since those are some that we keep over winter?
Right, and you have to think of ways to use those. Well, I just love roasting them. I like to throw a bunch of them on a oiled cookie tin and just put it in the oven for a long time until they're tender and they, you know, just like those tomatoes I was describing, they shrink a little and they concentrate their flavors and they become very sweet. You know, like carrots become very sweet. And but,
beets.
What?
Beets.
Beets. Beets I bake for 3 hours wrapped in foil, and they are so caramelized and concentrated. Oh. They are so good.
3 hours?
I know.
What temperature?
Crazy. At 350.
You're kidding.
No, it just makes it a completely different vegetable. You wouldn't believe how good it is. And then you just, you slip the skins right off, and you can toss it in vinaigrette while it's still a little warm and put it on top of some greens for salad. That's what I mostly do with it.
Oh, so a whole beet. You just take the whole beet.
Whole beet, or a half a beet if it's a really, like...
humongous beet.
Softball size or bigger, yeah. But I roast a lot of things like that. But I make borscht, a lot of root vegetable soups. There's a borscht recipe in the book, and then there's a fall vegetable soup that's winter squash and some other vegetables that root vegetables in there. What else? There's a parsnip dish in there. There's always interesting things you can do with all this stuff. Even kohlrabi, like, what do you do with kohlrabi? It's good, maybe steamed and pureed with cream and lots of parsley, because it's a sort of a pallid color otherwise. And parsley is a wonderful superfood that's the hardiest herb, really. It really is. You can grow parsley all winter. With a little protection, and it makes it this nice pale green color, as well as giving it more flavor and many more nutrients.
Oh, yes, it sounds wonderful. What are, well, we have I'm looking through your book again, and I come on carrot and raisin sandwiches.
Oh, that's a funny one. That's something my mother used to make for me, and we didn't have Cuisinarts or anything back then. She had an old-fashioned meat grinder. In fact, I still have it in my drawer. And she'd put the carrots and the raisins in the meat grinder, and they'd just turn into this, you know, unappetizing-looking thing. And then you put mayo in and put it between bread. And I would sometimes take it to school, and people would go, ew! They didn't know how good it tasted.
Oh.
And it still works best if you use an old-fashioned meat grinder, actually.
Well, we've got one of those. In fact, I've got two of those.
Oh,
my, my wife wonders why we have two.
Well, you might need them someday. I would keep them if I were you.
Barbara Damrosch, our guest today, talking about her new book that she has put together with her husband, Elliot Coleman. It's called The Four-Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook. From the Garden to the Table in 120 Recipes. Having a great time talking with her. You can join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear what are your favorite ways to use the bounty of your gardening season, or when you go to the farmer's market, which a lot of probably more... Well, I don't know if more people do that than garden anymore. It's certainly a popular – the farmer's markets are very, very popular in Wisconsin. And, Barbara, I would expect they're the same for you.
Oh, yes. Oh, people love farmer's markets. We have them in every town up
here. Yeah, it's they're wonderful. So give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, and this, and I'm, you know, now I'm looking at some of your salads too, because we haven't talked about any of those.
Yeah, I love salads. I like to make composed salads where instead of tossing it, you just spread out a bed of greens and then you place interesting things on top. It could be even, you know, pieces of meat or something, or, you know, spiced peaches, eggs, you know, all kinds of little custard. A lot of salads, if you try to put heavy ingredients and toss them, it all sort of winds up in the bottom of the bowl, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
So this is a way to turn a salad into a meal.
Yeah, it's you've got your chicken salad with spiced peaches.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And we'll eat light in the evening. We have our big workers' meal in the middle of the day, but those are the kinds of things we'll just make, you know, a meal of in the evening and sleep better.
Yeah, and sort of like the old days on the farm. You know,
the
big meal was always
like that.
Mm-hmm. Dinner was always what we call lunch now.
That's right.
Debbie in Pewaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I sort of missed part of the show, and I was wondering, my girlfriend does the roasting of the carrots, and she said to sort of chunk them, and she uses olive oil. Can I use canola oil? And what's the temperature and how long for carrots? And can you do parsnips and turnips?
Oh, you can do any root vegetable that way.
Yeah.
I'm with her about the olive oil. I like it. I don't like canola oil. I think some of it's genetically engineered, and it's it's just a much more industrialized oil than olive oil or butter or something like that. If you want a very neutral tasting oil, you could use sunflower oil or grapeseed oil, maybe.
Grapeseed oil is good.
Yeah, that's
okay.
A nice one. Yeah.
And what temperature is carrot?
I would do 350 for any vegetable I'm roasting, and then just test it. You want to take a look at it. Anything with sugar in it is liable to burn kind of quickly if you ignore it, and so you just want to take it out before it blackens.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, it depends on how big your chunks are, how big your carrots are, but... 20 minutes probably, maybe 25, maybe 15 if they're skinny.
Yeah.
Do you throw a little salt or any sugar on them at all?
Not sugar. You don't want to, you're not going to need sugar. They come out very sweet. A little salt is a good idea. You might put some, an herb like rosemary. I love rosemary and carrots together. That's delicious.
Yeah, that's a good combo.
Fresh?
And I always have rosemary because I have a pot outside in the summer, and then I bring it in for the winter, and it's one of the herbs that keeps best in the house if you make sure you water it and don't drown it and do everything it likes.
There you
and
go, Deb.
What about parsnips and turnips? Is that about the same idea, or do they not get sweet?
They're the exact same idea. Again, it's just a question of how big the chunks. And I wouldn't make your chunks too big with parsnip, because that's one of the sugary ones. So if you had very big chunks, it would take
too long.
By the time you get the innermost part tender, you might have blackened the outermost part.
Oh, okay.
Turnips are a little less risky, but I'd still, you know, I would make a chunk no bigger than an inch and a half across at most.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume it's uncovered.
Uncovered. And then in between, you want to toss it a little bit. Take your spatula or something and just, or even a pair of tongs, and just rotate them a bit so they absorb the oil and get browned evenly, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep. Thanks, Deb.
Well, I probably have other questions, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Deb. And let's see, let's turn to Stella next in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Stella. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome, and thank you for the show.
Sure.
I'm calling. Last summer, we discovered a wonderful way to make tomato juice that is absolutely delicious. It's sweet and tastes fresh. Prior to that, my husband had made tomato juice, but it always had a bitterness to it that I really didn't find appealing.
Uh-huh.
So what we do is we take the fresh tomatoes, cut them up, cook them enough so that they're softened.
Yep.
And then we got a really wonderful food mill, and I'm going to give you the brand name.
Yeah.
We used to have a Foley food mill, and this is so much better than the Foley.
Really?
Yes. It's OXO. O-X-O.
O-X-O. Yeah, that's a great company. They make lots of really good kitchen implements.
Yeah. It's called OXO Good Grips Food Mill.
What makes it better than the Foley?
Well, it has for one thing, it has three different size screens,
uh-huh.
So you can
adjust the screen size.
Right, and it does not have the wire on the bottom, so it doesn't splatter all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And it has legs that fold out. It is very easy to put together and take apart and clean.
Uh-huh.
And it has legs that fold out, three legs that fold out that have a gripper material on them, so it's very stable on top of the bowl or pan or whatever you're putting it on. It's just a marvel. We juiced our raspberry crop, and the only thing that was left behind was the seeds.
No.
And it came out to be like a raspberry puree that I froze.
So now you've got to finish.
Then what we do after we run it through the food mill, that takes out the seeds and the skin, and then we just can it in a water bath, you know, bottle it up and can it in a water bath, and it is fresh, and it's just sweet and delicious. It's really, really good.
And you don't put any salt or lemon juice or anything?
No, we just do the tomato juice, and it makes it's wonderful to drink just straight or to use in, you know, like a stock for soup, or in stews, or any kind of cooking.
Did you ever try one of those hand crank fruit and vegetable strainers? I can't remember some of the brands. The one I have is Villaware, but there's lots of different ones that look all very much alike, where there's a hopper on top, and you just throw the tomatoes or the apples or whatever in, and then crank it, and it just comes out a sluice. And you can go through just, you know, quarts and quarts and quarts of it that way, and it makes it, if I had to do what I do with a Foley, even a large version, it would take me too long for what I like to put up.
And, you know, on that note, we're going to have to close. Barbara, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I hope
A total pleasure on my part. I love talking with you, Larry.
Oh, it's
fun. I talk about food all day.
I know it. Thank you very, very much. Barbara Damrosch is the author, with her husband, Elliot Coleman, of the Four Season Farm Gardener's Cookbook. And we've got a couple of her recipes up on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. So please take a look at those recipes as well. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.